preached here several gospel meetings in the past, and it has always been a real joy to be with you, to see you again, and surely to participate with you in this very special effort. I'll have more to say about that at the worship hour, but for now in this classroom environment, just by beginning to thank you for this beautiful opportunity to work with you in this very special gospel meeting. I have selected a series addressing First Things First. That title may seem somewhat familiar to some of you. You've probably seen it advertised in some of the publications and writings that appear on the internet. I did not know that such a title existed until I Googled it. I don't say, and I will not say, that I invented that expression. But I am using it, and you will see how, as we progress in our study during this particular week. And when I talk about this series of sermons, I want to begin this morning just giving you a little bit of a background about the word first. I started preaching when I was 16 years old. And one of the things that I learned from older gospel preachers, don't be technical, be practical, be real, stay simple. And I want you to know that this morning's lesson here in the Bible Hour is probably the only technical sermon that you'll ever hear from me. And so bear with me as I introduce the study this morning by beginning with an explanation of the word first. First of all, the word first is found some 435 times in the Bible, 275 times in the Old Testament, and 160 times in the New Testament. Of course, it all depends on what kind of version you're using as far as the Bible is concerned. But when you go to your Bible, you will find the first time that you find the word first in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and verse 5. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. And I'm sure those of you that study your Bible are very familiar with that particular verse. But then, the last time that you will see and find the word first is in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 13, where Jesus makes the statement, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. But when we talk about the word first in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, I found that you have different words in the Greek. There's not just one single word in the Greek for the word first. You find several of them. The first one that I want you to look at is the one that is pronounced proton. And Vine's dictionary defines it as in time, place, order, or importance. And then he emphasizes it by saying, first of all. And of course, you find this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, and in that already well-known passage of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, where you are recalled by Jesus' words, Seek ye first God and his kingdom. So these are times that you have in your study as you look at the word first in the New Testament. But then you also find it in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, and also in Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. I want you to look at this very carefully because you are already familiar with it. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And then in Romans 1 and verse 8, Paul begins his epistle by saying, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." So these are some of the special passages that you will find the word first. Let's look at something else. The other word that you have in the New Testament for the word first is the word protos. Look at how Vine defines it. Foremost, and then in parenthesis, in time, place, order, or importance. So this particular word first is used throughout the New Testament in these manners. Well, Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 2, Mark chapter 16 and verse 9. Look at it here. "Now the name of the 12 apostles are these. First," there it is, "Simon." And then in Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, when Mark is writing about the resurrection of Jesus, "Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene." Now you're probably looking at that verse already and you wonder, wait a minute, brother. You have the word first there twice. Well, I did that on purpose. I want to single out the word first as we are defining it. When you use the word first in the sense of the first day of the week, you have a totally different word to translate. So for now, we're looking only at that particular word, protos, in Greek, talking about foremost, in time, in place, in order, or in importance. Now, don't be surprised that you're going to find instances where this particular word is used throughout the New Testament. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 30. "But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent." The first. Again, this is talking about someone that has first place, that is at the very beginning of this particular worship. Look at chapter 15 and verse 3, where Paul says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." I delivered to you first of all. And that's a beautiful phrase. Look at verse 45. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The first Adam, or the last Adam, became the life-giving spirit." But again, these are only simple explanations that I want to give here at the very beginning in understanding the word first. Vine dictionary is very helpful. But I want us to look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5. And I want you to see something here that I like to point out in any study that we have in regard to the scriptures. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul is writing to these brethren, and he tells them, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." The word first, the first day until now. When you read that verse and you read the context, the verses around there, you don't need Vines. You don't need Thayer's. You don't need these Bible dictionaries, really. Because the context itself is telling you that Paul is referencing a special time. Paul was receiving financial support from the church at Philippi. And he mentions this by using the word fellowship. The fellowship that they had in the gospel, like you and I do. When did all of this begin? Well, he says, the first day until now. So that tells me, and that tells you also, that Paul is referencing a special time between him and the church at Philippi. Well, he wants the brethren to know that he recognizes that this fellowship in the gospel started the very first day. Well, when you go back to Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 40, you read about how the church at Philippi started. So Paul is saying that their fellowship started when that work started. They had this fellowship from the very beginning. So he is going back to that time in Acts chapter 16 to tell the brethren how grateful he was that this fellowship was started from the very first day of the beginning of the work at Philippi. So these are things that I want to point out as we look at this in our study. But let me also point out to you this morning that Thayer's lexicon gives us a further explanation about the word first. He says about it, about the word proton, among the first things delivered to you by me. And he's referencing 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 18 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. Let's look at this particular passages. He says, for first of all, when you come together as a church, look at the phrase, first of all. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, he says, for I deliver to you first of all that which I also received. You know what is very strange about this? Is that the New King James Version translates two different Greek words the same way. First of all, when you come together as a church, first of all, the things that I preach to you. What does this tell us? It tells us two things about it. Number one is the first thing he did, the first thing he wanted to do. But also, it shows the importance that he is giving the fact that the church is coming together and the importance of what he was preaching to these brethren. You see, the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, these two contexts help us understand the phrase and the meaning of the word first. First of all, when you come together. First of all, what I preach to you that you receive from me. It was important. It was outstanding. And he wanted the brethren at Corinth to know about this. And Thayer's lexicon gives us a brief explanation on that. But let me also point out something else. Thayer's lexicon explains to us in a very simple manner two words that are translated also, or that is one word that is translated in two different ways. And for this, we need to go to Revelation chapter 21, and I want us to look at verses 1 and 4. Now remember, this is one same word, protos, and look at how this particular word is translated. In verse 1 of Revelation 21, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And then in verse 4, for the former things have passed away. In the Greek, it's the same word. But look at how they are translated. First heaven, first earth. And then he, the writer, for the former things. And all it does is just gives you a different word, but it is translated differently, but it's the same word in the Greek. Let me also point out to you that there's another word. There is a third word in the Greek that is translated in some versions first. And it's the word archē, spelled A-R-C-H-E in the Greek. And this word is defined as according to Vines, commencement. And of course, you know what that means, a beginning. And in parentheses, he talks about a beginning as far as order is concerned, time, place, or rank. And Vines tells us that this particular definition of this word is used in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 and 8, and also in 1 John chapter 1. Let's look at this for now. In Matthew chapter 19, you're familiar with these verses. Verses 4 and 8. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning? Look at that phrase, at the beginning. And then in verse 8, but from the beginning it was not so. So, what is Jesus talking about here? What is he pointing at? Well, he's pointing at a certain time when all of this happened. And he is pointing to the beginning, at the first, at the beginning, at the commencement. This is what was done. This was what was taught. And again, you don't need Vines to tell you that, because when you read Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 and 8, the context itself tells you that Jesus is talking about a certain time. And that time was at the beginning. Now let's look at the other verses. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, seen, we have looked upon concerning the word of life. That which was from the beginning, a certain time. When was this? John says, from the beginning. So you see how these words are used throughout the New Testament. And I want you to know that I picked only the ones that we are mostly familiar with, so that we can have a better understanding of how this particular word first is used throughout the New Testament. But I'm going to repeat myself here. We don't need Vines. We don't need theirs. Primarily, we need to look at the context. Anytime you read your Bible, any verse, any word that you are studying, any topic, doesn't make a difference how technical it may get. All you need to do is read and look at the context. And you're going to be able to come to a very safe and sure conclusion. When you leave the context, you get in trouble. How many times have you yourself, or maybe you heard someone say, well, that's not what I said. You said something and somebody took it out of what? Out of context. And boy, do you want a problem? I know you've had them. I've had them too. And we're going to continue to have them because when something is said, you got to keep it in the context. Well, it's no different. It's no different when we're looking at any study in our Bible. The basic rule is you read the verse, you look at the context, and then you can know how that word, how those verses are used in that particular chapter. And I'm sure that Charles has said that to y'all, I don't know how many times since he's been here. Because that's the truth. That is very basic Bible study. Well, what does that all got to do with us? Well, let me tell you what I'm going to do beginning this morning. We're going to stay away from technicalities, number one. So rest assured that our lessons are going to be as basic and as practical as they can be. I have taken the first verses of several books or epistles in the New Testament. And I have looked at these first verses that appear in the very first part of each one of these epistles. Have you ever wondered? I have. Why did Paul write verses 1 through 11 in Philippians chapter 1 first? Why didn't he write verses 1 through 11 over here in chapter 4? Why did he put this at the very beginning of the epistle? Maybe I'm weird. You know, maybe I'm different. I don't know. But my point is, he said first things first. For some reason, the Holy Spirit guided Paul in putting these verses 1 through 11 at the very beginning of his epistle. For some reason. These are first things first. And what are we going to do this week? Well, we're going to start this morning by looking at 1 John. This afternoon, 1 Thessalonians. Monday, Romans. Tuesday, 1 Corinthians. Wednesday, Galatians. Thursday, 1 Peter. And finally, Friday, 2 Thessalonians. So you already know what we're going to be dealing with the rest of the week. We're going to be looking at the beginnings of chapter 1 of each one of these epistles and just take a brief practical look at the things that were written at the very beginning of each one of these epistles. Now, let me also encourage those of you that like to study your Bible, go back into the other books. Look at the rest of them. Look at 1 Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy. Look at 2 Peter. Look at Colossians. Look at Ephesians. Each one of them has the same scenario. Each one of those letters, each one of those books begins with something written. So my question is, why? Why did the Holy Spirit, why did Paul begin his epistles? Why did Peter begin his epistles at the very beginning with those words? Why did they choose that topic? Why did they choose that introduction? And it's going to help you in a very simple way to understand the rest of the epistle, to understand the rest of the letters that were written, the rest of the book, as to why those things appear the way they do. Well, this morning, I know I'm finishing a little bit earlier. The lesson this morning will be taken from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4.